fucking Ryan Carter.
What, Charlie?
Nothing. Nothing, Tony. Nothing. Go back to sleep, will you?
Not sleeping, Charlie.
Sleep!
From what Charlie had been able to piece together, it looked as though that triple slut Marcy had been up to her old tricks again. At least she'd paid the final price for it. Charlie felt a passing tightness around his groin as he recalled some sweating, shuddering moments with Marcy. It must have been the woman who'd liberated Ryan from the Kiva at the very time that the lepers had attacked. Charlie's first gut reaction had been that it had been a crowd of Norms storming in on a rescue mission. It had been a brief time of relief when he'd realized that it was nothing more threatening than a mob of stump-fingered lepers. But they'd been lucky, timing their strike for the middle of the night, when Stickies were never at their best. Charlie grinned in the darkness. Stickies were never at their best. Then there had been the fires and the explosions, beginning among the stores of black powder and lamp oil. The flames and thunderous booms had delighted the Stickies, sending them capering into the gunfire of the lepers. For a time it had been in the balance, and only Charlie and his Uzi had tipped the scale in his favor. But the encampment had been destroyed, many of the ancient buildings finally reduced to blackened heaps of shattered red brick. Charlie had ordered a few of the older males to stay with the surviving females and children, telling them to get everything ready to move to a new site, while he took the rest of the Sticky males with him on the vengeance trail.
Clever fuckhead, Carter.
And he'd fallen for it, his mind clouded by the gibbering antics of his followers, letting them go surging down the steep side of the valley, where the river pounded and raged, watching them slide and fall. Only when one of the older Stickies slipped into the torrent and was whirled screaming to his death did Charlie finally come to his senses.
No, they've gone up! They've gone higher up!
The trail of the Travoy was the clue. The deep furrows along the damp mud, sometimes vanishing where Ryan and his companions had lifted their wounded man, or wounded woman. Charlie didn't know which, and didn't care either. Then it had been a question of plodding uphill. Stickies weren't great hikers, and Charlie had to keep after them, kicking and cursing the stragglers. At times he'd only had a half dozen with him. Then they all had to stop and wait for the rest to catch up. He knew he couldn't risk going up against the well-armed Ryan and his group unless he had all his power with him, which meant around 20 in total. Now darkness had overtaken them all, and he was stuck in the wilderness by the old blacktop, wondering where Ryan had gone. Charlie's guess was that he'd probably be hiding among the buildings of the little ville, ready for an ambush. Or had he gone through, hoping to fool Charlie again? Was he even now making a cautious, slow escape down the trail on the far side? Charlie knew the region well, and he was aware of the escape route off the plateau. It was utterly hopeless in adverse weather, but walkable the rest of the year. Walkable with care, even in the semi-darkness of the night.
What we doing, Charlie?
Shut your mouth, Tony. I'm thinking about it, aren't I?
Running his fingers through the mane of bright yellow hair, Charlie suddenly stood.
Come on, let's go and take us a good look.
From his hiding place, Ryan could just see out through the doors, but the armored glass was so dirty and cracked that it was almost impossible to make out any details. However, he did see the arrival of the Stickies, a darting white figure close by the doors, almost brushed against it with his shoulder, there and gone in a second. Ryan steadied the Sig Sauer and eased back farther into the shelter. He heard feet moving inside the outer doors, then saw a suckered hand, deathly white in the moonlight, reaching around the edge of the inner doors, ready to push them open. Ryan's finger tightened on the trigger when Abe started to cry. JB was walking second, almost on the heels of Christina. Despite her disability and the built-up surgical boot on her left foot, the woman was making a good pace. She limped along so fast that Doc and Harold, near the back of the group, had to keep on asking her to slow down.
You have some passing familiarity with this terrain, madam, but it is utterly alien to us. And the silver beams of the Night's Huntress are somewhat nugatory for our purposes.
What the fuck's he on about?
Doc means that there isn't much moonlight.
Why didn't he just say so? And when are we going to take a break?
Everyone quiet. Christy, you hear anything?
Nothing. How long since we left, Ryan?
Just gone half past eight.
More than an hour. Surely something must have happened by now.
Figure the stickies must be around the ville by now.
Funny how going downhill sometimes worse than going up. Wonder if Abe's still alive.
Christy was staring back up along the trail, toward its invisible crest.
I can't tell. Mildred, I just can't tell.
The door opened, and a cold draft came crawling over the lobby floor, bringing dried leaves with it. They rustled up against Ryan's chest, sticking in Abe's hair. But they didn't disturb Abe. The sticky appeared like a night wraith, the suckered fingers making faint kissing sounds as he released the armor glass. He was carrying an M16 that Ryan guessed had been liberated from one of the dead lepers. The sheet of moonlight was further blocked when a second figure appeared in the doorway.
Anything?
Too dark. We got no lights to fucking see. Not no lights for fucking seeing?
No, we don't have any torches.
Why?
Because I fucking well forgot to! It doesn't matter, Tony.
Too dark.
Without lights, it was madness for Charlie to risk sending any of his party into the derelict building. But if he hung around and waited until dawn, then Ryan and the others could be long gone, way out of his reach.
What are we doing, Charlie? It's darker in the back end of Marcy's...
Yeah.
Ryan suddenly felt that wonderful sensation when you know you've got it right. Life and death combat situations were, as the trader often remarked, just like playing a good game of poker. Sometimes you had to bluff on an 8-high hand, but mostly it was knowing odds, drawing to an inside straight or filling a flush, or tricking a gang of stickies into thinking you'd all gone down the side of a mountain.
Come on out!
You mean us?
Just get the fuck out here! It's likely they kept moving. We'll follow on and pick up the trail at first light, then we'll...
And that was all that Ryan heard. He waited until the tiny digital numbers on his wrist chron clicked around, showing 2200. At his side, Abe's breathing was slow and steady, with a regular catch to it, as though he were dozing and was just going to jerk awake and ask for breakfast. Ryan checked on his pulse, which was slow and strong. Ryan stood and stretched, making sure his muscles hadn't tightened too much. There was a little more moonlight filtering in, making the lobby seem like some vast, sinister undersea cavern. He cat-footed across to the hidden door and opened it an inch, putting his lips to the crack.
It's Ryan, Jack.
They gone?
I think so. Wouldn't take chances, though. Not with a sticky like Charlie.
You coming up or me down?
I'd like a look up on the roof. You come down and watch over Abe.
Ryan was right by the stairs, ears honed for any sound. But Jack still made him jump, materializing out of the Stygian darkness.
Fire blast.
Christina says I move real silent for a skinny kid.
She call you that?
Kid? Sure. Hey, it's not the same from her, Ryan.
I guess not.
How's Abe?
Good as far as I can tell. Go keep an eye on him, Jack. Don't stick your head out the doors until I come back down.
On the stairwell, the light had almost totally vanished. Ryan was conscious only of the dimmest glow, which he assumed was coming from the open trap onto the flat roof. He felt his way along, his fingers encountering something small and slippery that writhed away from his fingers. Halfway up, there was a landing with a door that was either locked or jammed, then another flight of steps, this time of echoing iron. The projection control suite was right at the top, with its door missing. The room was about 20 feet square, with wrecked equipment scattered everywhere. Now the light was better, and Ryan's eye had adjusted to it, seeing enough to pick his way across to the rectangular window of thick glass that looked down over the main auditorium. There was a folding steel ladder against the wall, which was hooked onto the bottom of the trapdoor. Before climbing it, Ryan moved over to the projectionist's window and peered through, trying to imagine what it had been like when the ragged seats below were filled with laughing, excited people. From what he knew, Ryan guessed that something like 95% of that last ever crowd in the Beacon would have been dead within less than 6 months. The breath of sound from behind and above him warned Ryan what was happening, and he started to spin around, lifting the Sig Sauer, knowing he was way too late. Christy stopped dead, her hand going to her mouth. She half turned on the trail, nearly stumbling, and swallowed hard. Looking back again, her eyes locked onto Christina's face. Both women had gone corpse white